Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. With a series of economic and diplomatic measures now being taken to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, President Carter last night held a White House briefing for about 100 members of the Senate and the House. And Jim McManus reports.
The president told the Capitol Hill group the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan is the gravest threat to peace since World War II, that his economic response is strong medicine, but that he's stopping short of a military reaction to avoid armed conflict. Pennsylvania Republican Senator Richard Swiker told reporters later, the U.S. should sell arms to China now. But Senator Roger Jepson, the Republican of Iowa, said Mr. Carter had an answer for that.
He indicated that that was not going to be expedited at this point in time. The reason for it made some sense, that if we were going to eliminate any hope of improving relations with Russia, we would put them in a polarized position if we would, at this point in time, jump into sales to China with arms.
The president also learned that some farm belt Republicans and Democrats want a better plan for cushioning the economic effect on American farmers of the partial embargo of grain sales to the Soviet Union, and that some intend to support legislation that would prevent the newly acquired government reserves from depressing grain prices at any time in the future. Jim McManus, CBS News, the White House.
Trading in grain futures resumes this morning after a two-day suspension, despite steps taken by the government to ease the impact of the partial embargo. A sizable drop in prices is anticipated. At the United Nations, Richard C. Hauntelet reports that the effort to take the Afghan crisis to an emergency special session of the General Assembly is in serious trouble.
When the Soviet Union Monday evening vetoed a resolution deploring the intervention and calling for immediate withdrawal, the 13 non-aligned and other nations on the Security Council fully expected to go to the Assembly without delay. That would require a formal request endorsed by 9 Council members. The request has not been made. The Western nations and China think the non-aligned should take the lead. Otherwise, they feel the Assembly debate, intended as a court of world opinion to indict Soviet intervention, might appear as an East-West Cold War exercise. A strong resolution might then fail to get a two-thirds majority, which would be politically disastrous. The Western nations think that military intervention in sovereign, non-aligned Afghanistan should be alarming enough to the non-aligned nations to make them take the next step. But the 7 non-aligned members of the council have backed away from it. One strongly anti-Soviet diplomat says they are afraid of Soviet power, and he speaks of appeasement such as that which led to World War II. Richard C. Hauntelet, CBS News, United Nations.
Western diplomats in Kabul say fighting between Soviet forces and anti-Soviet Muslim guerrillas continues in 6 Afghan provinces. The rebels claim they have captured a position on the Soviet border after 9 days of fighting. Casualties on both sides are described as heavy. But there is nothing to suggest that the Soviets have run into really serious resistance in any of the large towns or cities. At last night's White House briefing, President Carter said Iran should realize by now that the greatest threat to its security is Soviet expansionism, not the United States. Mr. Carter also said that terrorists holding American hostages in Tehran have become the country's most powerful single political entity. Wherever there's been a showdown between Ayatollah Khomeini or the Revolutionary Council, the president said, the terrorists have always prevailed. Much of the action in Iran today is centered in Khomeini's hometown, reported from the scene by Randy Daniels.
Revolutionary guards set up roadblocks along the roads leading to the holy city of Qom, searching buses, cars, and trucks for weapons. The extra tight security was designed to prevent another outbreak of violence between supporters of Ayatollah Khomeini and those of another leading Iranian religious figure, Ayatollah Shariat Madari. It was an emotional day, but peace prevailed. It was the end of the Shiite holy period of Muharram, when the faithful again take to the streets, marching, singing, and plaiting themselves lightly with chains, a show of sympathy to past and recent martyrs of Islam. Perhaps a million or more people converged on the holy city, underscoring the point that while Ayatollah Khomeini does have opposition in Iran, he and he alone is Iran's leader. A sea of Iranians marched past the home of Ayatollah Shariat Madari, which was surrounded by Khomeini's men. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Qom.
In Tabriz, the northwestern city loyal to Shariat Madari, revolutionary guards report widespread fighting as hundreds of thousands march through the streets. Tehran Radio says the crowds have been burning banks and automobiles. Secretary of Defense Harold Brown has been having another busy day in China. We'll hear about it from Mike Pappas.
Brown met with China's top leader today, Communist Party Chairman Hua, who gave the American Defense Secretary a warm welcome, posing for official pictures with the Pentagon delegation before sitting down for talks. Hua told Brown the whole world was watching his visit to China with interest because of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and that the reaction to the visit thus far has been favorable. Everyone seems satisfied, said Hua, except for perhaps a few, like our neighbors to the north, the Soviet Union, and Vietnam. Hua was referring to the possibility that strong military ties between China and the United States will emerge from the Brown visit. The United States has already agreed to sell the Chinese the new Landsat-D satellite, which could have military applications. The Chinese want more American technological know-how and training to get their program to modernize their military off the ground. Brown earlier was shown a live-fire demonstration of Chinese tanks at a military base near Peking. The tanks used were at least 10 years old and were taken from a Russian design, which was even older. The Chinese apparently made their point that they need America's help to bring their armed forces up to standard. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Peking.
Brown told tank officers that he looks forward to increased cooperation between the U.S. and Chinese armed forces, but he told Chairman Hua later that his visit to China is not aimed at changing U.S. relations with any third country. The Supreme Court today hears arguments over the rights of workers not to perform dangerous work. Fred Graham has details.
The Supreme Court has never said whether the law protects a worker from being fired or otherwise disciplined by his employer if he refuses to take on a dangerous assignment. But today the court will consider that issue in the case of two factory workers from Marion, Ohio. Tom Cornwell and Gary Deemer worked for the Whirlpool Corporation in Marion, where they were ordered to walk out and do work on a mesh screen strung near the ceiling of the plant. A fellow worker had been killed doing that just 12 days earlier when a part of the screen gave way and they refused. The company punished them by docking their pay and with written reprimands, and the U.S. Labor Department brought suit, saying that the 1970 Occupational Safety and Health Act prevents companies from punishing workers who refuse to do jobs they believe could cause their deaths or serious injuries. The High Court is expected to decide the issue by next June. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
Yesterday was a banner day for Wall Street. On heavy volume, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 19.71 points, its biggest one-day advance since November 1978. Ray Brady takes a look at the major factors.
Wall Streeters say much of the buying came from big institutional investors, such as banks and pension funds. Many of them had been out of the market, fearing the nation was heading for a recession. But yesterday, the government released two sets of figures indicating the economic outlook might not be all that gloomy. One set of numbers showed the economy stronger late last year than earlier estimates had put it. The other showed consumers are still borrowing money, a sign that consumer spending may continue and keep the economy from going into a dip. So the big institutions began buying and drove prices up sharply for many of the blue chips and growth stocks. Issues like IBM, Texas Instruments, and Teledyne all were up. Many analysts, though, wonder if the market can really keep a rally going. They note that even if the international situation were to settle down, the inflation rate and interest rates are still high, and that combination often chokes off any big move in stocks. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
The steam went out of the latest gold rush today. The price was fixed in London at $599.75 an ounce, down almost $18 from yesterday. Gold also declined in Zurich and Hong Kong. Saudi Arabia today announced the beheading of 63 of the terrorists who seized the Grand Mosque at Mecca last November. A group of armed separatists on the French Mediterranean island of Corsica took about 30 people hostage today at a hotel in Ajaccio, the island capital. Security forces have closed off the region.
CBS News. Pandemonium on the grain futures market. I'm Richard C. Hottolett reporting on the CBS radio network. This was the sound as grain futures trading opened on the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. And at Chicago's Mid-America Commodities Exchange, grain and soybean futures plunged the maximum allowed as sellers tried desperately to unload excess grain. The government suspended trading in grain futures for the last 2 days in the hope of stabilizing the market after the administration announced a partial embargo on grain shipments to the Soviet Union. In Chicago, reporter John Cody of station WBBM talked with one trader on the floor of the Chicago market.
March wheat has opened limit down sellers. March corn has opened limit down sellers. Every grain across the board are limit down sellers.
What's the numbers on that? What's it going for as opposed to?
Well, if you were long, say, March wheat on Friday at 445 and a half, you are now trying to sell it at 425 and a half, and nobody is there to buy it.
The Afghanistan story after this.
You know, I still get a kick out of beating my brother Dave, but there's one game I can never touch him in, and that's money. Old Dave knows how to make it and how to save it. One day he says, smarten up, kid. Your savings account is insured and the interest is guaranteed, but it only pays 5.5%. Inflation is about 13%, so figure it out. You're not keeping up. Dave says, call Fidelity. Get into one of their money market funds. The yields are a lot higher than most savings plans. Fidelity gives you check writing, and there's one fund you can get into for only $1,000. Call Fidelity, Dave says. Ask for their current yields and a free prospectus. Read it carefully before you invest. My brother Dave doesn't rush into anything. You can call Fidelity toll-free at 800-225-6190. Yeah, 225-6190. The Fidelity High Yield Money Market Funds. Sometimes it's nice to have a big brother watching.
Reports from Afghanistan say Soviet troops are being airlifted from the capital city of Kabul to the southern province of Kandahar. The troops are being airlifted because Afghan rebels control some of the land routes in the southern part of the country. The International Longshoremen's Association has declared a boycott against all Soviet shipping to protest the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan. The president of the Longshoremen's Association, Thomas Gleason, says there is plenty of support for the boycott within the union's rank and file.
The decision by the union's leadership was made necessary by the demands of the members. It is their will to refuse to work Russian vessels and Russian cargoes under present conditions in the world. Our people are upset and they refuse to continue a business as usual policy as long as the Russians insist on being international bully boys.
Gleason added that Soviet ships currently in American ports will be allowed to complete loading and unloading. America's ambassador to the United Nations, Donald McHenry, says he expects some movement today in bringing the Afghan crisis to the UN General Assembly. The Soviet Union 2 days ago vetoed a resolution in the Security Council that called for the withdrawal of all foreign troops from Afghanistan. The United States plans to ask for another meeting of the UN Security Council as early as tomorrow to vote on economic sanctions against Iran. CBS News has learned that the U.S. is proposing a worldwide ban on the supply of all goods to Iran except food, medicine, and medical supplies. The United States wants the Council to ban industrial service contracts with Iran and to shut off new loans and credits to the Iranian government and as well as individuals. It is not certain that the United States has the necessary support for the sanctions in the Security Council, and they could be blocked by a Soviet veto. Stocks and other news after this.
Reach out and touch someone.
This is Sarah Baum for the Bell System. I've been reaching out for years because it seems like I'm always away from someone I love. You treating your folks tenderly? Give them a call. It's important.
Reach out, call up, and just say hi. Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting to share your day. Come on and reach out and touch someone. People from coast to coast, calling up friends to keep them close. Families who care so much, keeping in touch. Reach out and touch someone.
former Justice of the Supreme Court, William O. Douglas, remains under intensive care at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Doctors say the 82-year-old Douglas is very seriously ill with pneumonia and with lung and kidney failure. On Wall Street at this hour, the trend remains up. The Dow Jones average is up 3.49. Volume on the big board, a very heavy 33 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 855.20. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News.